All right, so a couple tiny pieces of business. I realize I haven't posted the solutions to homework. They probably won't go up until tomorrow morning sometime now from last week. There'll be a Jupyter notebook accompanying them to show you how to do those kinematic transformations in Jupyter as well. And you should have got an email, you got a homework due next Friday on the stuff we've been working on recently. Okay. Next week we won't have lecture in class, but I'll be sending you links to a series of videos. They aren't quite full lecture length, but it will make sure you're watching those and working on the problems alongside of those as well. Because I will be out in the Nevada desert.
Both
Tuesday and Thursday. So we'll do this week. They've got a video lecture thing. If you have questions about any of those videos, please feel free to email me. While I'm gone, I won't have internet access during the day because I'll be out in the desert. but we do come back to town every night, so I can answer questions at that time. Same thing, if you have questions about the homework while I'm gone, please get in touch. I'll answer as soon as I get back into town, basically, get back to the hotel. So we'll do this next week, and then we'll do it. It's 1 week in October. I'm going to be in China giving guest lecture, invited lecture series over there. So we'll do some videos that week and kind of do the same thing. Today, what we're going to do is work a couple of examples to start out with, chapter 3 type examples. What we're going to do, and we'll do this a couple few times throughout the semester, probably more often as now we have some foundational theory done, is basically flip the problem, give you guys 5 or 10 minutes to at least set the problem up, then come back together and kind of check that you had the process going right. So you can kind of get some immediate feedback on setting up the problem, at least, and then kind of try to get to just what's left is just math. So this first one, to get us going, I think will hopefully be an easy one for you guys. Let's see, a simple planar example. I'll draw and then we can talk about it.
Do these have numbers from the book?
This one does not. Later ones will. I'll let you know if they accompany the book. So we will note about L. So basically what we have here is kind of a simple model of a planar crane. And what we want are, so if we call this guy out here the payload, so we can call him, it's a point mass P for payload. What we want to write it in the fixed frame. Okay. Let's define what we can call. So certainly you could go about this just writing some position from O to P and then differentiating. Don't do it that way for today. Let's use the equations we've been using for these relative velocities. Okay. So take maybe until 20 till, so 6 or 7 minutes to set it up. And we'll come back together and compare notes. All right, looks like people might be at stopping points, either stuck or done. So let's have a chat about this. So what do we need to do? What's our first step here, probably? Some kind of coordinate system. So we have this fixed one we know we're going to need to write, we want to eventually resolve everything into. Okay. What other coordinate systems might make sense here? When it depend aligned how?
With x in the same direction as x.
Okay, so you could do... on y1, and then you'd have o1 at the pin. Could do that. What other option might make some sense here?
A coordinate frame where y is always parallel with l.
Yeah. So you could have, in this case, y. And then the origins are actually the same there, so we'll call that O prime. That's that axis. So, which one of these should I use? Well, let's see if, okay, let's ask a different question. What's the difference between trying to use either one of these? So either one of these I could use, right? I want to write prime where that prime in this case is not necessarily, it could be O1 or O prime, right, for the axis, right? I'm just the general version of that equation. So if I'm looking at this equation that I have, that I'm going to use to get the velocity of point P, what you can do is kind of look at each one of these terms and say, well, which of these frames makes it easy for me to write those terms? That's one way to kind of approach this. You know, and you could look at the acceleration equation the same way. Well, what frame choice here makes it easy for me to write out the largest number of these terms? Right. So let's kind of walk through those for maybe both of these frames. So VO prime, it could be in this problem VO1 or... actually, VO prime as we drew it there, right? So, what's the velocity of O1?
X dot.
Direction?
I.
Okay. Okay, it could be I1. It's not that, actually. Which is always aligned with the capital I there. Okay. Well, VO prime is still that. It's not going to always be aligned with small I though, right? You'd have to do some extra stuff to get you there. So those are probably the easiest ways to write either one of those. Well, this looks good, and that we can immediately have that term of the velocity in the capital frame. So either one of those doesn't really, you know, seems to suggest either one of these would be okay so far. Okay. Well, let's look at the other. So this could actually be, in this case, let's see, the prime, x1, y1, z1. Or if we chose the xyz in our frame over there. And what does this velocity represent? In either case, in the general kind of high-level understanding of what that velocity term is.
Velocity assuming your reference frame is fixed.
Right, so velocity assuming the reference frame is fixed. The other way to think about it is the velocity within the frame. Like if I'm sitting at the origin of this frame and moving however it is, the point looks like it's moving at this velocity to me. Okay. So... which one of these is easier to write? Or, yeah, which one of these is easier to write? So this guy, you had a frame fixed between O and P, right? So what's the velocity of the payload within that frame? If L can vary. You got it.
L dot.
Yeah, L dot. In what direction? So we're looking at, so Dallas had a frame that was fixed to the cable, basically. Yeah, so it's in the minus J direction. So that's pretty easy to write there, right? If I'm going to write the velocity in this frame that's just translating, what is it? You could probably, the easiest way to get there here is say I prime cosine theta j prime, take that derivative, away you go. All right, so that's the position of P relative to point O. Right, and you just take the total time derivative of that, and you can get the relative velocity within that frame, the one that's only translating. Okay, so in terms of that term, it looks like the XYZ frame is easier for us. Right, the one that's fixed along the cable of the crane. Okay. So in this case, that omega, right? The omega is of the frame. Right. So in this case, X1. What's the angular velocity of the frame that's just translating?
Zero.
What's the angular velocity of the frame that's fixed to the cable?
Theta dot.
Theta dot direction. You gotta have direction too. That's just the rotation rate. Put your thumb on the axis that's rotating about. It's that axis. All right. So that's K1 and capital K. All right. All those axes are always aligned. All right. So we could write this just a small k. We could write it in terms of that intermediate axis if we want. We could write it in terms of the fixed axis. Because those unit vectors are always aligned. Okay. Well, let's compare that term. So in that case, it would be position of O1 is just what we wrote over here. What's the position of the payload relative to O prime written in that small XYZ axis? Negative L. Positive is that way. All right, so looking at this, which frame wins? Either one's not too hard. I mean, this is a simple problem, right? You could have just written the position and differentiated twice and got there, and it's not a big deal, right? But I think this exercise is probably worth going through for more complex problems even. Like, which of these is going to be simpler to solve? And maybe working out the steps both ways. So I think that the small XYZ is easier than the prime. All right, so we're going to use that small XYZ, the one that's fixed to the cable. So I'll be explicit here. We need the angular velocity of the XYZ frame. There we go. If I transcribed everything correctly. K minus J, yes. Okay. So we know K cross J gives us a minus I, right? So this becomes an L theta dot minus minus I. So there's your kind of three terms there. All right, so we have two of those are in the small xyz frame. But we need to get the velocity back to our inertial frame. How do we do that? Yeah, you need the rotation matrix. Right. Again, this is a simple problem. We could probably just reason about it and draw, you know, do the geometry by hand. But in general, you're going to work from this using the rotation matrix. So we have a simple rotation about what? So what we want, basically, we need ijk is some function of capital I. So we need that rotation matrix. What is that rotation matrix here? What axis is our simple rotation about?
Z-axis.
Z-axis. So what does that mean this matrix is? Got one part right so far?
I know the bottom.
The bottom, what's the bottom? Those are zero.
Yeah.
Okay, what else we got? Cosine theta in the middle. Okay. There you go. Yes. Those matrices, yes.
Yeah, it's just a standard.
If the simple rotation is about that axis, the matrix will be the same. All right, so what you have to, you know, if this was theta was defined this way, you got to make sure you use a negative. But yeah, the matrix itself is the same. You will see this in some places, like if you happen to take Dr. Taylor's course on continuum mechanics when he teaches it, they actually, you can write this kind of the opposite way. And so you'll see it's a little bit different form there, but they are equivalent. So for our class, you know, dynamicists will generally write it this way. Right, so, but either way, it is a standard form. You just have to be consistent with what you're doing. So, you know, for the purpose of this class, yeah, they're always the same. Okay, so what does that tell us? We need to get I and J, right? So all this matrix really tells us, the simple one's easy to do. Sine theta I, right, and J. And of course, what it's telling you is small k is equal to capital K, which we can reason about just from the kind of intuition. So you can plug in these here, and then you got everything in capital IJK. And I do that stuff with math in the notes for you if you there. Okay. So that's the velocity. What about acceleration? So I'm gonna get rid of this over here. Let's come back over this way and write acceleration. have the... let me write it in the same order we've written or been writing it, right? I don't need to confuse you guys. We have been writing this term next, then this term. Get that right? I think I did. All right, so what terms don't we have so far? We have this guy calculated over there. We know omega already. It's over there. We know the relative velocity. We know omega. We need to know alpha. Or let's, we need to know alpha. We need to know the relative acceleration. And we need to know acceleration of the frame origin. So let's start with the frame origin. What's the acceleration of that frame origin? O prime in this case.
X to the cover I.
Yeah. So you can immediately just write that in the fixed frame because those, that's the direction that guy's accelerating in. Okay. The relative acceleration of that point P within the XYZ frame.
L double dot little j, or in the, yeah, in the frame that's fixed to it, right?
Yep. You're real close. Yeah, it's negative, yeah. Right? Because it's going away from you. Minus L double dot little j. All right, the only one we don't know now is the angular acceleration. Okay, what is that? Of that small XYZ frame. So you could do that. That's, we can do that step if you want. So we know that it's, so we had dt of theta dot. We can do small k if we want. Okay. Okay. What's the derivative of that frame, small k, or that unit vector, small k?
W cross k.
We could certainly work it out. We'll discuss it in just a second. So you got theta dot, omega cross k. What's omega of that frame? That's what that omega is. What's the angular velocity of the small XYZ frame? That, right? What's k cross k?
Zero.
You could have got that all the way up here. How do you know that is zero? Right away without having to do those steps. What's that?
K didn't
change. Yeah, the direction of K never changes. Length never changes because it's a unit vector. Its direction is never changing because that's the axis you're rotating about. So that unit vector's direction is fixed in time. Its amplitude is fixed by definition of being a unit vector. So you could, hey, I know right away that should have been zero back there. Intermediate steps. We also could, not really going to help us much here, we do know that's a line still with capital K, or that K prime, or K1 if we wanted to. Okay, so I think that gets us all the terms we would need to solve for that acceleration. All right, we have this guy here, relative acceleration, alpha, we have R, PO, O prime we got to figure out the velocity. You can take this cross product you did, right? Remember, this term is just there. So when you're working these problems, don't work this out again. Right, just cross omega with it, with the result you got for the velocity. And then we know Vx, y, z, and that one. So we can fill in all those terms, do the math. So all that's left from here is math, and then you do the same kind of rotation matrix tricks to get it back to capital X, Y, Z. And I have most of the intermediate steps of that in the notes too. But yeah, I don't think it's necessarily worth our time to just go through a bunch of math. Okay, questions about that? Pretty simple example, but this is the exact procedure you'd go through even if it's more complex. Or maybe if you had a second frame down here, might make a good example later. How would you get the total velocity of M2 relative to some fixed frame? How would you get the relative velocity of M2 relative to some fixed frame? If we had a double pendulum. Yeah, so you would do kind of, if this is what, Q or something, right? You could do the velocity of Q, velocity of P, plus fill out the rest of the equation. An acceleration of Q. Then the equation, depending on what frames you choose and that kind of thing. Right, so that's just like the linkage problem we kind of worked last time. You can get the acceleration, you know, velocity acceleration at some point, and then write the next point down the chain relative to that one. And it's just plugging in terms of this equation representing the system you're looking at. Okay. Questions. Okay, let's work another one. So this one is from your book, example 313. Okay, I'm going to attempt to draw this guy. Simplified version of what they have in the book. Blue, might as well use blue for my water. So we have a boat, cruise ship maybe. Okay. There is an elevator aboard this cruise ship. Okay. We're gonna define some center of gravity of the ship back here somewhere. And there the book problem is define a set of axes for E that look like this. It's going to be a small since it's moving. X, Y, Z. We have pitch about the x-axis, omega x. We have roll about the y-axis, omega y. We have yaw about the z-axis, I'll make it z. Okay. The elevator. So we're going to call the actual origin of this point of this frame g is at the center of gravity of the ship. Okay. We have this elevator. It is, maybe try to draw this. L forward of that center of gravity, and then H above it, and it has a velocity called U. Make sure I've defined everything for you. That should do it. Everybody follow the kind of setup so far? So a ship, we have roll, pitch, yaw. We have an elevator aboard the ship that its current position is described, or its position is described as H above that y-axis, and L in front of the center of gravity. It has a velocity we describe by U. We also can define, just assume that we know the velocity and acceleration of the center of that ship, center of gravity of the ship. Okay. So you can probably guess we want velocity of the elevator and the acceleration of the elevator. Everybody understand the setup? Okay. Take a second to start setting that up and we'll come back together. Okay. Let's take a look at this so we have time to set up at least one more after it. All right, what's first? Picking some coordinate frames, sure. What do you want to pick?
Maybe the same frame as the original frame.
Mm-hmm. So, are you saying like fixed to the elevator, but just translating? Yeah, that's a reasonable choice. You could work it from there if you wanted. Call that XY prime if you want. Okay. So, you know the velocity of the elevator. Where I'm just writing x, y, z to represent the frame we're describing the velocity of the elevator in. So we have that in this case. So, if I do this, I can just write the equation with respect to g if I want. I could use your intermediate frame. Completely fine to do that. And that's probably a good exercise, is to write, you know, if that is O prime, you need to describe the total velocity of VO prime. Which in this case, that frame is actually fixed to the elevator. It's basically the same, right? So you don't get a whole lot, you don't gain a whole lot by using that frame, because you're going to have to solve for the origin of that frame. And the origin of that frame is where the elevator is. So the velocity acceleration of the origin of the frame give you the total velocity of the elevator anyway. So I think, in that case, we can just work with the frame the problem we're given in the problem. So we say, hey, we're just going to leave the velocity of the center of mass as the velocity is center of mass. So we need to figure out the relative velocity of the elevator within the frame, the angular velocity of the frame, and then the position of the elevator with respect to g to figure out the total velocity of the elevator. All right, let's start with relative velocity of the elevator within the frame. What do you have? No, within the frame.
Oh, within the little frame. Okay, then in the K there.
Yeah. Or if h represents the height, you also could write it this way. We define u as that velocity, but it's also the velocity at the rate of change of the height, right? So you could do h dot there if you want. Will be the same thing. Okay, so we have that term. It's the angular velocity of that frame. Well, we have a frame that's fixed to the boat, XYZ. It's a body fixed XYZ frame, okay, with its origin at the boat's center of gravity, G.
Okay.
So what's the angular velocity of this frame?
Omega is
about each of those axes, right? All right. You got that term? It's the position of the elevator with respect to G. There you go. And now we have all of our terms we need. Math from here to figure out the total velocity of the elevator. Okay. Let's at least do the same for the acceleration. Oops, elevator. Okay, so again, we're assuming we know a of g, acceleration of that center mass. So what terms don't we know here? We don't know the kind of relative acceleration of the elevator. What is it?
Was it u constant, or is it
we don't know. Yeah, you could. And quite often, even if you're given that maybe that's constant, you might would work it out, just assuming it could vary. So you could write that as u dot or h double dot. Okay, so that we didn't know that term yet. We don't. This is, we can subscript that if we want to let us know that, hey, that's the of that XYZ frame. What is that? Yep, so we know for sure. By definition, it's this. Okay, so Let's write that out, see what it looks like. Okay, what are those? Unit vector derivatives in this case. So these guys are all fine. We'll collect them out front. So you have that term we know is straight so far. We just have to figure out what those, the derivative of I is. So what's the time derivative of that I unit vector? Yeah, in this case, omega x, y, z, cross with that unit vector. We have we can do actually. Is gather some terms together, and what we would see we can do that. What is that right mode? What is this term? That cross product.
Zero.
Yeah, it's just the vector. It's the angular velocity of that guy, body fixed frame, cross with itself. It goes to zero. I did that out explicitly. As we'll see, that term actually goes away for all body fixed coordinate systems for that very reason. Okay. So are there any other terms that we don't know yet? Don't think so. So you have everything you need to just plug into those equations and do the math, or let some computer algebra system do the math for you. Questions about that one? Any other ways of doing this one? I think there are no other obvious ways of doing this one, maybe. Other questions?
In this problem, like, just to make sure I'm understanding, like the x and y axis aren't, like the xy frame isn't like parallel with the horizon, I guess. Like it's rocking.
It's fixed to the boat.
It's rocking with the boat.
Yeah, so it's fixed in the boat.
Yeah.
And rocking with the boat, moving. It's always fixed to the boat. It's a body. It's fixed to the body. Yeah. It's body fixed.
Okay. I think when I started working it, I thought that the xy plane was like fixed to the horizon.
Yeah. Okay. No, this is body fixed to the, yeah. And this is the context in which we'll see body fixed frames for the most part. They're fixed to a body, and that's why they get where they get the name from. Right, we just looked at them in terms of kind of coordinate, kind of generic coordinate frames previously, but this is where we'll see them most often and where that name comes from. All right. Let's try another one. It's also from your book. And I don't know that we'll have time to completely finish this one, but I'll post my notes anyway, and then since it's from the book, you can check out the book for the ending, if you will. So we have basically a fan blade we're going to look at. Beta. It is. What's it called? Capital Omega. So this linkage is rigid. This guy's spinning theta about that axis. And then let's look at the. I'm gonna draw another picture that's a frame kind of face on, if you will. So, or the fan blades face on. So we're going to have get these nominally square. Fix a Y Z to that guy, and this angle from vertical is feet. We're going to call the center of this blade point B. Call that kind of joint angle there. Point A. Okay. And then what we want, we're going to want the velocity and acceleration of the kind of tip of that blade, point P. So P is there, P is this guy over here. Okay. And this phi is also must be this way. This guy is spinning that way. This is just a face view in that direction. Right, so it's spinning this way. Are we following the kind of setup so far? Okay. So what we want are velocity acceleration of point P. And the problem explicitly asks for it in terms of this frame that's fixed to the fan. So this XYZ, small XYZ frame, is fixed to those fan blades. So it's body fixed to the fan blades. And let's maybe agree on a couple other frames so that it'll make you matching up solutions with what I do a little bit easier, maybe, to help get you started. One. And of course that the way this is defined means that x is out, small x is along the AB line. Theta B. We have, I missed this guy, the length from A to B is L. The fan blades are of length R. Take just a minute to maybe think about how you'd set that up, and we can start talking through how to set it up at least, and then you'll have the notes and then the book to finish walking through it on your own. Okay. Okay, since we're running out of time, let's at least talk through at a high level how we'd set this up. And again, you have the notes and then the book to finish it off. So we want the velocity of point P to start out with, basically. It's the first thing we're kind of looking for. How can I write that? How do we think we want to work through that? Relative to B. Right. Okay. And then that means I need to find the velocity of B, right? How do I get that? Plus VB and whatever. Those frames are different, right? So that's a little bit hard. Let's call them one. Well, we got ones up there. That's a one, too. We can call it prime, maybe. So whatever that axis is. What here goes to zero? That second equation. Velocity of A, that guy's always in the same spot. He's zero. Okay. What else? Gonna depend a little bit about how you define the frame, I think. Let's say we can use x1, y1, z1, which is fixed to the bar. Right? So those guys are on the same rigid body. So what's the relative velocity of B? Zero. Right? This distance is always the same, always in the same direction within that frame, because the frame is actually rotating too, according to that cap omega. So we really only have this term to worry about. Okay, and in that case, what we're saying is that this is actually omega x1, y1, z1. Based on what we just said. Is what we're going to use for that prime frame to get B. What is that one? What is that term? We said it's fixed to that kind of bar, rotating with it. Yeah, cap omega K1. Yeah. And then you can find position of B relative to A pretty easily, I think. And then you have the velocity of B. Okay. What is, so if you look, that gets us that first term. We need that. We're going to need that. And we're going to need to finish out the velocity of point P. What's the relative velocity of P to B? What was that?
V times R.
V times R. And the little x. It's accelerating this way? Or velocity is that way? Within the small xyz frame?
Asking
Well, we need the relative velocity of point P.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting this frame, moving with this frame, doing whatever that frame is doing.
Zero.
Yeah. 2 points on the same rigid body still. B and P. Okay. What's the angular velocity of that frame? Total angular velocity of that frame. What's the other term? Yeah, capital omega. Remember, you need to write the total angular velocity of the frame you're using. Okay. What's the position of P relative to B in the XYZ frame, it's easy to write. Right, if this is always fixed in that, this way, XYZ is fixed to the fan blades, that's always R in the K direction. And then we have everything we need to figure out the velocity. And then, that, along with the acceleration, and how to get everything into the same frame using the rotation matrices, are in the notes. How are we going to, if we're going to try to get everything, we're going to have some stuff described in terms of x1, y1. How do we get that into small x, y, z? What kind of, some kind of rotation matrix thing, right? So what rotations do we have to go from x1, y1, z1 to small x, y, z? Well, we have, if that's beta, this must be 90 minus beta. 90 degrees minus beta, right? So you have 90 minus beta in the positive y. That gets you a line there. But then you have phi about this guy, too. Right? So it's two simple rotations to get from x1, y1, z1 to x, y, z. Right? Because you got to get from flat to here and then this rotation. So you have two body fixed rotations. They're still two simple matrices. They just, so you have a ry or r, that's about x, so rx, ry. R 90 minus beta, r phi. Just two simple rotations, and that gets everything back into the same. You can use that to get everything back in the same frame. In the notes. So yeah, look for those homework solutions to be posted. Look for video. I'll email about videos to watch next week. And please, if you have questions about either homework that's due on Friday next week or the those lectures, just email and I'll reply at night. Yeah, question.
If that's the case, I think I misunderstood the statement. That phi is an angle, not a rate. So the omega xyz at the bottom should be phi dot.
Phi dot, yeah, you're right. Yep, sorry about that. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah, that's a phi. Yeah, phi dot there too. Sorry.